some of them. There's Greg Brigham. He's the Dr. Greg Brigham. He's the CEO at Adapt. And I'm going to let Greg carry the show from here.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Rutter. So recently I was talking in a group where Mayor Rutter was present about what we're feeling at Adapt is a need to just raise community awareness of the things that we're doing so that, you know, we can find opportunities for collaboration and just inform people of what we're doing. So we're primarily a healthcare provider organization, so primary care, community mental health programs, substance use disorders. But we're also very interested in the social determinants of health, so the things that make it so that people can respond to the services we provide. So, for example, we're a certified healthcare for the homeless organization, so we try to address issues that would keep people who are homeless from engaging in the services we offer. I'm just making a distinction between we're not a homeless organization, so we don't go out and operate programs that are just for homelessness. We operate programs for people that we provide services to that may also be homeless. It's maybe a distinction that's not real important at this point in the conversation, but it can be sometimes. So I've invited Jared Sullivan. He's our chief of regional business operations. And he does a lot of the facility development and program implementation. We have Gene McBay with us also, and he's our director of recovery service, housing and recovery services. And he's also very involved in, these guys are involved in standing up programs, facilities, and operating them. We also, in addition to facilities, which we'll mention as part of this, I think Jerry brought a handout to help with that, we also offer services. So we're bringing a lot of new services online. So they might not be physically located at some place on the map, but they're, for example, peer recovery workers who go out into the community and help people that are in need of help engage with the services they need, whether it's housing, food, health care, mental health services, substance abuse disorders, and so on. So I'm going to turn it over to Jerry. I'm going to stay. We're happy to answer questions about anything that we do. We just came in with this emphasis, though, to kind of talk about the things we have available for people that are homeless.
Great. Thanks, Greg.
Yep.
Jerry O.
As Greg is introducing me, I'm like, yeah, that's the payback for those long titles. He gave. I had to remember what all those words were. So I gave you a handout just to kind of guide us through this conversation. There's a Roseburg handout, a Winston handout. And the reason for this is to kind of understand the scope of what we do, where the physical location is for some of these things, and then we'll talk about how some of this isn't at a location at all. Did you have a question, Scott?
No, I'm trying to get the chief.
Yes, sir.
Would help her, please? Thank you. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. I can see there's something. So if you look at the Roseburg map, you'll see a red circle. You'll see a red dot in the middle of that. That's the navigation center that they've set up around the homelessness or serving the homeless population. That red circle is a 1 mile radius, just to kind of understand where we are in terms of physical location compared to where the navigation center is. There's two green sets of words on that. One north of that red dot is our main location, the Madrone building, where it has primary care, there's mental health services, substance use treatment, and there's some outreach, some homeless outreach located out of that facility. And there's another one to the right of the red dot, downtown on Jackson Street, that has a similar set of services and also has some outreach.
So do we have a health clinic there too?
We have what?
Adapt has a health clinic.
It's technically a health clinic, but it's not the same as the health clinic at Madrone. It's really about really providing some key medical services for youth. Our youth services are located in that second location, mental health and outpatient. And we have an OTP, an opioid treatment program, located there too. So those are kind of our main buildings, if you will, for providing services. And as you go out Diamond Lake, you'll find on the right-hand side of the map some yellow letters out there. That's our crisis services. There's a sobering center. There's our crisis team is located there, although they respond anywhere they need to go in the county. That's where their offices are. There's a small primary care clinic there also that helps serve the residential program. It's residential substance use treatment 24/7, just located right next door, another green section on that map. And out of this, there's also some peer outreach. Each of these facilities have some staff there who go out into the community to work with people. They have an office, they have a place to show up and do some work, but their real work goes out in the community. Some of them visit camps, some of them are referred to work with people in the community who need some support or help connecting to services. They're working with people to get jobs, they're helping them stay housed or get housed. There's a bunch of different work that goes into that. So this Roseburg map is probably less interesting to this group than it was to the group I met with this morning from Roseburg, but it helps us understand where they're located. If you turn the page, two pages, to the back page, there's Winston. Winston has three locations that we own, yellow dots there, and there's a medical clinic on the south end of town, South River. And there's another place that was a clinic on the north end of town, Cascade Center. We're moving the dental offices there, so it's being remodeled right now. We expect to move them by February into their new facility. So Advantage Dental will go there, and we're going to take that space where Advantage Dental is, and we're going to expand it.
What's going to happen downstairs there?
Well, that's a good question, Scott. You almost like read my mind. Downstairs is a place where we had some billing. It's about half the size as the upstairs. This is a pretty small building. Our plan is to have some of those outreach peers work out of that space, because that other yellow dot that's not too far away to the south is Hillside. That's a housing project we've had here since 2015 or so. And they're supporting, right now, it supports families who are being reunited with their children and have a substance use issue. So they're going through treatment, they're getting child welfare support, and we provide housing as part of that process.
And there's seven units there that are?
There's eight.
But is one of them occupied by a?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Cool. So we did want to went away from the manager model to a peer supportive model.
Okay.
So is that considered transitional housing?
It is.
Until they're good on their feet, then.
That's the idea,
make
yes.
Make room for the next.
It's transitional. Mm-hmm. Originally, the plan, we have a couple of these. This one is the one in Douglas County. And 6 months was kind of the time frame. We invented that. We just said, yeah, six months, that feels good. Mm-hmm. And then this thing happened. I don't know if you heard about it, but COVID. You may have heard of this thing.
Never heard of it.
It was on the news. It kind of changed all that. So the idea of somebody being able to come in, do treatment, quickly transition into permanent housing, can't happen. So there wasn't enough housing, there aren't enough jobs. And for about half the pandemic, you couldn't go buy a job. And then the other half of the pandemic, you couldn't find a home. So the two things made it pretty difficult to do transitional. But we stretched that timeline. 12 months seems to be enough to help most people. And we have really, transitional housing is defined as up to 2 years. So we've done pretty good even at 1 year, frankly.
Are you finding it difficult, even at that, to find permanent housing after the transitional period's up? I mean, there's a real housing crunch.
You know, there is a real housing crunch. It's not made up. It's all over. This is not the worst place that we deal with. Curry County is probably the worst because housing prices are about twice as much and there are no in-between. You either live in something that's held together with duct tape or you live in something that is really big and really expensive. So I think here what we find is there's options. So there's different types of permanent housing and it's just large enough that there's some options. Given some time, given some effort, 80-90% of the people are able to easily make that transition in about 12 months.
And do you help them with that search?
Oh, yes. Filling out paperwork, driving them around. We have management that we contract with that are also out there helping with the private side. Mm-hmm. And we have connections in Oxford House and some other things.
Right.
So I'm just going to introduce real quick.
Okay.
With Gene McVeigh, he's our housing director. So we brought him in because he has a little expertise in this area.
Okay.
He's worked for Oxford House, I don't know how many years?
10 years
developing Oxford houses and managing them and you know, doing all the fun work that goes into setting up those kinds of homes. And it's not for everybody, but it provides a tremendous resource that can really help somebody get into or be in long-term housing. So feel free to ask questions of Gene. I'm throwing them out there for that reason.
Just to maybe strain off the subject a little bit, but they, like some of the people that live underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You address those also?
Yes. So we have some of these blue dots that I have on the Roseburg map, and they also would be on that Winston map if I put them on there.
Yeah.
Those are people whose job it is to go out and connect.
Mm-hmm.
People who are unhoused or otherwise disconnected. So they'll go to camps, they'll go have conversations with people, and basically they're trying to build rapport with the idea that they can figure out who they are, build a relationship, learn what their needs are, and over time, not on day one or two or even three, they'll be able to help connect them to something that might be helpful. They might have a wound that could use a treatment. They're able to get them to the health clinic. Start to address that, and then eventually they can talk about, you know, some of the issues that are noticed. Like I noticed, you know, there's a lot of needles around here. Could we help kind of help clean that up? And do you have an interest in maybe getting some treatment? For those people who do have an interest, they can help make that connection.
What about temporary housing for instance within the Winston boundaries?
Yeah, so we don't have much in the way of temporary housing in that category. What we're working towards is helping get connected to the agency who would have that. So this person who's working with them would look for resources and try to find a way to connect them to a service or a resource that'll help get them to where they want to be, right? To it could be some kind of shared living, could be something else that they would qualify for and could afford.
Jerry, what you mentioned motels as well.
Yeah, so in Roseburg, we recently purchased two motels, one small one and one large one, for the purpose of providing some behavioral health housing. The small one will be mostly for substance use issues, and the larger one will be for people who have behavioral health issues. So some of this capacity will definitely be used for people who engage in services and are willing to like engage in the process, some kind of process of change, and get right into housing with the idea that they're going to move forward with that. It's transitional.
And that would also apply for the home, for the unhoused that we have in Winston?
Anybody in the county.
Anybody in the county.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's one of the resources these peers could be working towards is, and I think we'll also want to mention support for employment and tenancy, but we don't draw a distinction between Winston and Roseburg for those facilities. As long as they're receiving services from us, we would try to relocate them there, assuming, you know, that there's vacancy and, you know, all of those things.
So the reason I bring the Roseburg map is because a lot of the people kind of work out of that as a home base, but those people travel throughout the county. We also have the crisis team, which is the yellow on there. They also travel everywhere from Reedsport to Diamond Lake, Yonkala, down to Glendale on a crisis.
Yeah, I see some of them coming out 42.
Yeah.
Are
they fully staffed in Ontario?
Crisis team is fully staffed, I believe. And the peers in Douglas County are fully staffed. So we, as part of the Burn Grant, which is the Measure 110 process, we brought on 10 peers in Douglas County.
So the HRSA funding for the clinics is dependent upon homeless outreach, correct?
Yeah, in the HRSA grant, we have one position that focuses on that. And he goes out and works with people in camps. We have a shower trailer that we have here in Winston, and it gets moved to other locations in the county. Yeah.
Is Wayne still doing that?
Yeah.
So
So they'll actually be in Winston tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Wednesday is the Winston day for the homeless outreach and the shower trailer.
Right.
I just want to add to that, that all of these peers...
Go ahead and stand up if you'd like to hear you a little bit better.
I just want to add that all of these peers that we have hired have got lived experience, and they are able to meet these people where they're at, where, you know, a lot of us can't come in and just kind of eye-to-eye meet somebody where they're at. You know, one of the things that we've been working on a lot is this tenancy support. We've kind of talked a little bit about it, but I want to go into a little bit more detail. You know, most landlords, most property managers, their goal is to keep a unit full. And if a person that's in that unit starts to create a problem, they get rid of the problem and they fill the unit back up. And what we have these new tenancy support peers doing is going out and building relationships in the communities with landlords, property managers, and trying to shift their way of thinking into saying, we want to keep a tenant housed. And so this peer is going to work really closely with the tenant and the landlord or the property manager and work through issues that would typically get somebody kicked out. So, you know, we're helping them to find houses. And then I tell these peers, this is when your job is just starting, because now you get to start working toward keeping this person housed. And as stuff comes up, working through issues, you know, and a lot of that's going to come from, you know, if we have somebody that's in there that's got mental health stuff, it's going to be referring to our crisis team or to getting them an appointment at the mental health, you know, dealing with these issues that typically would get them moved out. You know, so we have the tenancy support peers who are doing amazing work already. You know, and then we have the employment support peers that are actually going out in the community, talking with potential employers and working towards saying, hey, this is a great opportunity to give somebody this second chance employment stuff. Somebody that maybe doesn't have that has a little bit of a spotty employment history. And working toward helping them figure out, where am I weak in an interview, doing mock interviews, doing resumes, getting them ready to be able to walk in and be able to interview and have a good chance at getting a job. Getting them IDs, making sure they have IDs, social security cards, running them to appointments and making sure that this stuff's done. You know, making sure that if they need some clothes for an interview, that we can help them get clothes so they can walk in and look like they're ready for an interview. So there's a whole bunch going on with the peers. It's just super exciting stuff that we're doing that we're just starting to roll out. And so it's kind of exciting to see where we're going to be in 6 months from now. And then be able to come back to this meeting here and talk about the success stories that's happened over 6 months because of the peers getting out there and doing this work.
Now, a lot of the tenancy support is about eviction prevention. So when we think about people who are unhoused, homeless, and we think, okay, we just got to get them a place to live. They've been, if they're chronically homeless, they've been living that homeless lifestyle for a long time. And they may not even know what it takes to stay housed or live in an apartment or be a neighbor or work with a property manager or a landlord. If they don't know it, it's not going to take very long before they get crossed up, and then weeks later, maybe days, they're in the process of being evicted. And once a landlord or a property manager is thinking that way, they're really not working with them anymore. So our role is to go in early, even, you know, in their first move-in process, and establish ourselves as a resource, so that, because they don't know what to do. They just want people to follow the rules. They don't want them to create problems. Don't create problems for the neighbors who are other, you know, good tenants. Mm-hmm. If they have someone to come in, help support them, and let them be successful, and assuming it does actually lead to success, that's eviction prevention. So that's how you really solve homelessness, is teach the skills, help people really be successful in that role. Part of what we're delivering also is called a RentWell program, where we actually provide training for tenants so that they learn kind of what it is that's expected of them, what it takes to be successful as a tenant, and then as they graduate, they get a certificate, and that is backed up by some additional financing that's available or funding available to a landlord if there is a claim. So, really trying to give them something really tangible and some real hard skills that will help them, you know, on into the future. And their employment, we're actually seeing quite a bit of interest in this, surprisingly. a conversation with somebody who's unhoused, you wouldn't think that within a few conversations you're filling out job applications. But not everybody is in the same boat, but a surprising number of people have an interest in being self-sufficient and being out there and being productive. They just don't know how to do it.
Jerry, is the Dream Center still being well used and well attended?
I haven't heard much about it lately, but I believe so. I think that they're getting a lot of participation by both people who are unhoused and by agencies.
Are they, they're not having any trouble getting out there?
I haven't heard of any. I don't think so.
No.
Okay. It is a little further out than it was before.
Yeah. I know that at one time you were thinking about even bus vouchers or something, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that we're not the only ones doing this work, and this isn't the only county where we're doing this, but having people go to where people are, as opposed to just that, Dream Center's great. Pulling people to a central location, that's efficient, that's how you get agencies to participate. But we have to go out also and meet people kind of where they are. That's what we're doing with the peers. They're going to camps, they're going to parks, they're going to places where people are known to hang out, who are experiencing homelessness. And once they get to know our people, then they start to build some rapport.
It's a trust question.
Trust, yeah. Jerry, I wonder if it would be worth mentioning maybe some of what we have planned at the recovery campus.
Surely,
well, all of it really, because it's all a resource for Winston, but
yeah,
particularly the housing and kind of how that fits into how we're hoping to impact inventory.
We always have projects, so we have a lot of projects going on at any time. One of our biggest ones, in fact our biggest one ever, is the, on the right hand side of the Roseburg page, you see the orange right there on the corner. That is a new property that we purchased this last year, 40 acres. 40 acres on up the hill, 14 of it is actually to be developed. And you have a picture of it right there in the middle, second page. We are going to build a new residential program there and new detox. So our current one, which is the green, a little bit back to the left, is 32 beds. This new one will be 80 beds, more or less, with more detox than the current one. The current one's 11. We're going to go to 16. Instead of 21 for residential, we're going to have about 64. But in addition to that, our third phase is to add some apartments. Probably about 60 units of apartments for recovery housing. This will be useful probably primarily for people after they've gone through residential, or if they're in outpatient, maybe directly from outpatient or while they're in outpatient, into recovery housing. Again, probably transitional. I'm thinking more longer term, more like a two-year time frame, where they can really get established, really build a sense of community. We have a number of apartment complexes. We have at least one in each county. We're in four counties, by the way. And one of the things we found beneficial is if that complex of 8 to 14 people can have some kind of unity, a sense of community where they're participating as a group, and they're having some say, and they're sharing information and sharing resources, it's stronger than it would be with 8 or 15 individual people who are never connected. So that's what we're hoping to build on this campus. Probably a number of communities there within all those units, probably 5 buildings. And it's an exciting piece of the project. It'll be a campus designed around supporting recovery from detox all the way through transitional housing.
So part of the goal with that is to bring new inventory into the community of housing. So right now, if we purchase an existing facility, if it's an apartment complex, we may be taking that out of the service of low-income housing and putting in the service of our mission, which is important to us. But at the same time, we recognize that there's not a net gain there for the community. And so we saw that here in Winston when we took over. When we purchased Hillside and put it into that service. So still a very good service, but we'd like to step away from that and do more development and bringing on new inventory. So that's a major plan in the local area. One of the other challenges we're working towards is because we're a provider, and I mentioned that earlier, we're like a provider, we're not a community-based organization addressing homelessness. And so there are some resources coming online from the Oregon Health Authority out through the Coordinated Care Organizations, the CCOs, where they're pushing money out to address a lot of these social determinants of health as well, food and housing being top among them. In many cases, an organization like ADAPT is not eligible for those resources because we are considered a healthcare provider. We got a Medicaid number and we can bill, you know, Medicaid and so on. So we're not actually eligible for some of those dollars. So I think any solution as we're working towards it, I just want to mention, I think will require, you know, partnerships and probably multiple entities addressing it. So we're not in any way suggesting that the services we're discussing tonight are like a whole solution to this. They're definitely not. But there are a lot of things coming online. This behavioral health resource network, the BERN, that Jerry was talking about, that are bringing, is it 10 peers for this area?
For Douglas County.
Yeah, 10 peers. That's really brand new. And so that's, you know, while we've had some services in that area in the past, this is a major step forward in providing, you know, that peer outreach and all the, you know, sustainability things that are mentioned. So we're kind of here and taking on our roadshow is to, like, make people aware of what's available, not to in any way suggest that it's the whole solution.
And that shift in peers is a significant issue because we've had peers in the past, but the difference is peers we've had in the past billed for their services. And you think, okay, well, what's the difference? That's basically the same thing, right? The difference is that a client walks through the door wanting treatment. They sign up for treatment, they get an assessment, they get a diagnosis, they get assigned a counselor, and then they get assigned a peer who supports all that work. The difference in this is these are peers who meet people who aren't clients. They're the first contact. So we have never been able to do this work without a grant that will support it because this is not a billable service. In order to be a billable service, there has to be that other relationship that I described. An assessment, a diagnosis, and all those pieces in place. So what's really exciting about this is we're pushing out and meeting people before they even know they're interested in treatment, and we're building some motivation towards that, and we're helping them find those solutions. And it's not just about our services, it's about any service they may need. So that is really exciting, because that, you know, we get to be kind of the instigators of change.
How many of these people are historic residents of the county in which you're providing services, and how many of them have been imported?
You know, there are some that move around, right? Quite a few, though, have their own history and connection to some part of the community in the county. I don't have a ratio for you. Okay. There's other people more involved directly in the work that could probably tell that, but I don't have a number for you today. It's just, it's not as much movement as you would think.
Okay.
But how many people do you actually serve?
Total people?
Mm-hmm. Just saw that number.
2,600 in 2022.
In the county?
Or no, it's in four counties.
Four counties. How about the Roseburg area?
Well, we're about 60% in Douglas County, so most of that is in Douglas County, but not all of it. And that's old numbers, so I would guess the next year will probably be 30% higher than that because we've expanded into another county.
Do you have a 24/7 contact line in case somebody needs help?
I don't have it for you today. We do have some 24/7, like the crisis line, that is 24/7.
I'm talking about somebody that's underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
And they.
We will have that. I don't have it for you today, but we will have a 24/7 hotline for peers.
So we do have mobile crisis, which yep. does sort of overlap with this, and that's what Jerry's mentioning. That can be accessed either through just dialing 988, and that takes you to a call center and probably in Portland.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can do some interventions right on the phone, so like suicide prevention kinds of things. They'll assess the crisis, but mostly they'll just forward that to us, and then we also have our own 24/7 crisis line. And what's really changed over the years is we now have mobile crisis. So we have three vans And they're stocked with emergency supplies for homeless individuals, like tents and tarps and dry socks and first aid kits and
food.
So they can also respond. Now, they're probably not going to just respond in the middle of the night to, hey, I think I saw a homeless person over here that might need some. But if someone's in distress, they will. They're also co-deployed with the police or instead of the police if there is a crisis going on, which is really their focus, is to respond to crisis. But it doesn't have to be a mental health crisis necessarily. It's just a person who's not, is temporarily not able to function, and then therefore is at risk themselves, to themselves or others, not necessarily through suicide or that sort of thing. But they could become suddenly homeless. It could be domestic violence. A whole range of things that could put somebody in that position. And the crisis team will respond to them and can transport them to the various facilities that we have or other things, to medical care at the emergency department.
And two of those 10 peers are designated to do follow-up on crisis. If the crisis team identifies a substance use issue, then they would get referred to those two peers, and they would do a follow-up in a week or so once they're stable.
So we always do that with crisis contacts. So we track and report our follow-up rates. So we, you know, it's, yes, we want, you know, it's a success that we made it. We had contact during crisis, but the follow-up is very important. So we're always looking at whether or not we got a follow-up within 7 days.
So you mentioned that you had 3 bands that would go out. Is that for all 4 counties or?
No, that's for Douglas County. Yeah, and also the crisis, the peers also have their own vehicles. I want to say they have 5 or 6 vans of their own.
So do y'all deal or work in concert with like Peace at Home, which used to be the Battered Persons Advocacy, that's all part of an integral relationship?
Yeah,
there are probably several others that I'm not mentioning, but there's...
Yeah, child welfare is another one that we work closely with, parole and probation. There's a number of agencies that we're
working with. UCAN operates the navigation center, yeah. But we're placing services in there to, you know, for the whole range of services that we have.
Good. Any other questions? Mr. Bauer, you got anything to ask?
Not at this time, Your Honor. Thank you.
Jerry, can you talk a little? Can you talk a little bit about your challenges with the property on Diamond Lake? The Ash Springs operation is just to the east, and maybe so the big apartment complex operation is just to the east.
Yeah.
And maybe your partnership with the city of Roseburg, how that's kind of transpired.
Good. Yeah. We haven't had any issues. I mean, anytime you want to develop a property, there's the state of Oregon has a number of interesting. I won't call it an obstacle course exactly. It's kind of entertaining, though, like something you'd see on TV. But we had a process to go through to look at potential wetlands and look at other issues in order to make sure that all the different departments in the city of Roseburg would sign off on, yeah, you can run sewer and water and electrical, and we've got the easement, you've got an approach that makes sense. But we've been through that initial process, and everything's looked good. So it took a little while.
Thank you. Is that still in the city of Roseburg up there in this head of
Lewis?
Yeah. Looks like
40 acres there?
It's 40. Only the bottom 14 acres can be developed. The rest of it's outside the urban growth boundary.
Right, yeah.
And too high on elevation for the water supply.
Looks like you got a portion that's out, yeah, the northern portion.
Hiking trails,
that's what we're looking at. Maybe some gazebos, hiking playstations, yeah. Ropes course.
So, Derry, I know. In the past, we've always had issues with having enough normal housing to move people into, and I'm sure that hasn't improved much. I know that landlords obviously have issues at times, as you already mentioned. Do we still have that problem, having anything open that we can move people into?
It's a challenge, because when you think about affordable housing, by itself, that is a category that not every landlord is interested in participating in. When you throw in severe mental illness or addiction and complicated rental histories and credit histories and criminal, all these things, it just makes it less and less desirable from the landlord perspective. And so what we look for are landlords who understand recovery and understand that people change, and that the person that we're looking at today isn't the person on that report from 5 years ago, or there's good reason to believe that they're not that person. That's the people who will support us. It's a smaller subsection. It's also why we do some of our own development. So, you know, having some affordable housing in the community, fantastic. We're big supporters of that. But we know that not every one of our clients is going to be welcome in every single one of those.
Do you have any interface with the VA at Eagle's Nest?
Yeah, we have had. I mean, obviously that's our own program. But I think UCAN's been involved in working with them on that, and maybe NeighborWorks. But we refer to them, and when we're working with somebody who qualifies, then we can get them into that housing. I have, actually have a relative who used to live there.
Do you offer any guarantees to landlords as far as financial responsibility for some of
the... Well, that Redwell program does provide that. So okay. There is some guarantee that comes with completing that course. It is a direction we've considered going, pursuing some grants or other funding that would provide more of that. So far, we've focused more on developing our own property and just the relationships that we have. So I think probably having a body show up and help is probably the biggest thing that we can do.
So the Rentwell program, once they get that certificate, which you don't get it overnight, it's a 12-week, classes for 12 weeks. Once they get the certificate in their hand, then they can apply for this. It's up to $5,000. So if you rent a place and something happens and you default on your the rent, well, the funding will pay up to $5,000 so that the landlord isn't left high and dry.
Damages or past rents.
So it's kind of a guarantee.
Yeah. So the landlord would need a copy.
Or a warranty would probably be a better way to put it.
Yeah, warranty, exactly.
So how long do they have from the time that they fall out of grace, I should say, with the landlord before you take over and have them?
So it's pretty much immediately if they fall, and usually it would be somebody maybe leaving or having to leave because of damages, and then that funding comes available to the landlord, and they get up to $5,000. So it's a pretty good, it's a good incentive for landlords to reach out and take a chance on somebody because they're guaranteed to get the money.
Is the Oxford House still full?
They've stayed pretty full, and what I know is that there's a live, you can go to oxfordvacancies.com and see at any given moment what houses have vacancies. And
is the RSAC program still going on?
Still rolling.
You guys seeking any more housing in Coos Bay or some of the other counties, or...
Yeah.
I got to ask Jerry, because I know you always are.
We own some property in Coos Bay that we're doing some work on to see what it would cost to develop it. And that's so we can apply for grants.
But you already have a housing facility there, correct?
Correct. We have a housing facility in every county,
right.
At least one.
Oh, in Curry County as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some adjoining property with what we have in Coos that we'd like to get control of and develop.
Okay.
Available. But
see, these are the things I miss when we don't have in-person board meetings.
But we're also working on buying one in Grants Pass. So we had some grant.
Another one.
Yes. Wow. So that'll that'll be, it's a month out, I guess.
Yeah. It was 23 units.
23.
Wow.
We have a pretty strong relationship with child services down there. And so the first one was really developed in collaboration with them to prevent children from being removed or get them returned. It's recovery-oriented, treatment-oriented.
We have two other grants to support some housing in Curry County, and I'm waiting to hear about another grant that would support another plan.
It almost almost becomes a family recovery plan. It becomes a family recovery plan, not just the individual himself. It's the whole family we're trying to put back.
Yeah, if you're involving a parent, a child, or multiple children, you definitely have to have everybody on board. They're all going to need different things.
Perfect. Any more questions for the good people from ADAPT? Anybody out there have any questions?
And good luck in your endeavor.
Thank you. Okay, somehow stay busy.
ADAPT is an excellent organization.
They really are. They really are.
Really working with them.
Okay, that gives us about 20 minutes to talk amongst yourselves. Thank you much for showing up, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Concluded at 6:40.